Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We've seen a growing movement to reframe how American history is taught in public schools. Well, some parents who are opposed to critical race theory as new curriculum aren't too pleased.
Just because I do not want critical race theory taught to my children in school does not mean that I'm a racist, damn it.
Actually, it does. It's just another example of Republicans turning kids into a wedge issue, just like their politically motivated attacks on transgender youth who just want to play sports.
So Joy Reid there saying that if you oppose critical race theory being taught to your children in a public education that you're funding, or let's just be honest, public education funded by anybody who pays tax dollars, it could be your grandkids, it could be your neighbor's kids. If you think that critical race theory is not right for the future of our country, our children to be learning in the classroom, you're a racist, plain and simple. Droy Murdoch joins us now to talk to us a little bit about what Democrats are getting wrong so profoundly on race. He's a Fox News contributor and he's with us each week. Droy, man, that makes my skin crawl to hear Joy Reid say that. Curious about your reaction.
Yeah, Annie, I'd say my skin is crawling right alongside yours. I like how she says that if parents and Republicans oppose critical race theory, then those of us on the right are the ones who are creating the wedge issue. I think the wedge issue was created by the left, who went well beyond, let's have an honest discussion about our history, and let's taught, in addition to teaching all the joys of American freedom and liberty and independence, that we're honest about the fact that this was a slave country and that we had Jim Crow and we had segregation, and we overcame those things. We've been fighting to overcome those things. We continue to do so. That's all part of our history that ought to be taught. But critical race theory goes well beyond that, and it posits that if you are white, you are racist, whether you like it or not, whether you think it or not. And if you get up and say, I'm not a racist, then you're not in touch with your own inner being, which is bigoted. And, you know, once a racist, always a racist. If you're a five-year-old white kid, you're a five-year-old racist. And if you're black, of course, then you're a victim. You are oppressed. You're held down. And I assume that means you can't succeed because whitey's always, you know, riding on top of you and keeping you from getting ahead in the society. And that we're just in a constant sort of Manichaean struggle between white oppressors and black, Hispanic, and other minority victims. And that's the way it is in this country. And that's what critical race theory teaches. It's horrible. It's awful. It's tearing our country to pieces. And the sooner we can shut that entire way of thinking down by the same sort of the same way that we brought down the Berlin Wall in 1989, the better.
Droy, do you think that making race a central issue to everything and making it a wedge issue is kind of the point? You know, is that what people in power, including people in the media like Joy Reid, are deliberately trying to do to keep America sort of segregated ideologically on purpose?
Yeah, I think it's totally deliberate. This is, this is not a bug. This is a feature. The idea here is to keep us at each other, at each other's throats, divided, hostile, in constant conflict with each other. And this is really a Marxian notion. The critical race theory comes out of the Frankfurt School in Germany, and people who came out of that particular way of thought. And these are basically Marxists who basically thought, well, you know, there's a challenge to getting people, especially in prosperous countries, to engage in class warfare because poor people in this country want to be rich. So the idea of attacking the rich doesn't get you very far. But if you can get people struggling, not over a class struggle, but over racial struggle, and get white and black people yelling at each other, looking at each other with suspicion or worse, that might get you some traction, might create this sort of dialectical situation, going back to the Hegelian dialectic, where you've got a situation of constant conflict, one group pitted against the other. And out of that, I assume we'll get, their hope is we get a race war, and eventually after that happens, we'll have some sort of a Marxist or socialist government, which will carry us on to the workers' paradise. I think it's what these people want. These are awful, horrible monsters. These are not good people. They don't have good intentions. These are awful, malevolent malefactors, and they need to be disempowered and thrown upon the ash heap of history as communism itself was back in 1989.
How do Republicans cut through this message? I mean, you've written an op-ed here on Fox News, which we're going to share, about what Democrats are getting profoundly wrong on race. How do Republicans very visibly, vocally, loudly get it right?
First of all, get out from under your desks and under your beds and fight. You know, I think a lot of particularly white Republicans in office have a sense, well, we might say the wrong thing, so we'll just be kind of quiet. You need to come out and call these people out and say, look, you're tearing our country to pieces. What you people are doing is undermining decades of progress since the civil rights movement. Shame on you. You're awful. You're horrible. Call them bad people and be very open and direct and energetic and robust about it, number one. Number two, remind people of all the success black people have enjoyed in this country from Booker T. Washington up from slavery. He founded the Tuskegee Institute. You look at Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald. They started something called jazz, which is America's own original art form. Jackie Robinson integrating baseball. You've got Thurgood Marshall, who, of course, argued Brown versus Board of Education ruling of 1954, which integrated our schools. He eventually became Supreme Court Justice. Flash forward to the year 2008, we elected a black man president of the United States. He served for 8 years and won election and re-election comfortably. We now have a black vice president. We've had two black secretaries of state back-to-back. We had two black attorney generals back-to-back under Obama. We've got black senators. We've got people like American Express. Ken Chenault, the CEO of American Express, was a black man. Kenneth Frazier, I believe is his name, is the CEO of Merck. A man named Richard Parsons was the CEO of both Citigroup, and Time Warner. These are famous CEOs. You've got people who are not that famous who maybe own car dealerships. Perhaps they own grocery stores. Maybe they're just decent people who go to work, take care of themselves and their loved ones. They're not oppressed. They're prospering. They're succeeding. I would focus on black success and look at all the black success this country has not just allowed but fostered and encouraged. And black people are succeeding in many ways, public sector, private sector, education, athletics, arts, entertainment, etc. And every time these people talk about how black people can't make it, they're slapping in the face all the black people who have had success and are succeeding. I'd hold those people up on a pedestal and ask, if it's such a racist country, how is it these people, black people, have been succeeding across the decades and are succeeding at such a great rate today? And throw it back in their faces as hard as possible.
Yeah, based on what Annie asked a minute ago and your response to that, based on what a Republican or a conservative should be, what they should look like and be doing, your list, as you were reading it off there, it sounds like Ron DeSantis. I mean, he's very, very active on a lot of this stuff right now. And aside from Trump, he seems to be the front runner for a possible 2024 run. Do you think that reflects on where the Republican Party is right now, that maybe that old kind of old guard country club Republican, that's not the way that the party's trending right now?
I think you're right. I think one thing we all learned from Donald J. Trump is when the left attacks, you fight back. The sort of Bush family model is, I call it the great Olympic javelin catch. You run out there and catch the javelin right in the middle of your chest. I think people are sick and tired of that. The general kind of default position of the Bush family and the Bush Republicans is, if you're attacked, just smile and say, well, you know, I disagree with my opponent on that, and let them hammer you. And you don't correct the record. You don't correct the facts. You don't point out that these people are liars. You know, always say, oh, they're nice people and they mean well. They've got good intentions. They just have bad ideas. And this is true of some people. But there are a lot of people on the left, especially these days, who don't have good intentions. They don't have they don't mean well. They're malevolent and vicious, and they want to harm this country and hurt the American people and wreck the USA. And I think people like Donald J. Trump and Ron DeSantis are very focused and vocal and energetic about pointing that stuff out. The way he responded to 60 Minutes attack, I thought was fantastic. He hit them point by point, refuted the lies that they told, and then had his own videotape of the interview that he did at the press conference, and ran the videotape and said, look, this is the full answer I gave. Here's the truncated answer 60 Minutes gave, which completely twisted what said. And pretty much people, even on the left, said, yeah, that looked pretty bad. They really goofed up. So this combative effort on the part of people like Trump and DeSantis is exactly what the GOP needs, rather than the crawl under your desk and hide model of the Bush family. So I very much appreciate Trump's legacy in that sense, and I hope Ron DeSantis' future in that regard, too.
DeRoy, before we let you go, I want to read a comment here from a listener who's watching us on YouTube. Says, is black representation in the Republican Party willing to come out against the concept of black disenfranchisement? If so, they should speak to that opinion. And that makes me think of Tim Scott last week. And in the wake of what Tim Scott did, he came out and he talked about, you know, his phrase is from Cotton to Congress. It's a real story. It's his story. And the reaction from the left, boy, if we're going to call out racism, I wish we'd call out the real racism that's taking place in this country. The Texas Democratic Party calling Tim Scott an Oreo, black on the outside, white on the inside. And you know, these types of things that are just so absolutely based in hatred for somebody whose skin color doesn't match what they think that they should be thinking. I mean, racism is real. We see it every day. But I guess we have party lines where we decide to call it out here and not call it out there. What's your reaction to Paul's comment about the Republican part, black representation in the Republican Party coming out against this concept of black disenfranchisement?
Yeah, I think you point out to the example of Tim Scott, and I would describe the left's response to his rebuttal of President Biden's speech last week as basically hate speech. I mean, look, they could have said, we disagree with Tim Scott, he's wrong about this, and he should have thought about so-and-so, and actually here's a better approach to making this a better country. No, none of it was constructive. It was just extremely ad hominem, unbelievably ugly and nasty. You had
it's all about his skin color.
About his skin color, there's a woman who is at MSNBC that by the name of Tiffany Cross, happens to be a black woman, and she attacked him and said, she could try to respond to what Tim Scott said, but she said, quote, a lesson I learned, don't argue with people Harriet Tubman would have left behind. So Tim Scott is so bad, Harriet Tubman would have left him behind rather than liberate him from slavery. She compared him to the Samuel L. Jackson character, a house slave character in the movie Django Unchained. He's the tap dancer of Mitch McConnell. I mean, this is nasty, nasty stuff. And again, no effort to refute a point he made, disagree with any of his perspectives, just call him nasty, nasty names, because he's a black man who dares to think for himself and break with the Democrat orthodoxy. So I guess if you're black, you're not allowed to have your own thoughts. You're not allowed to come to your own conclusions. You've got to be like a little farm animal and go wherever the Democrat shepherds tell you to go, as if we were cattle. Black people are not cattle. We are human beings. One of the best expressions of this was back in Memphis, when Dr. Martin Luther King was involved in the garbage men strike there, and the garbage men held over their heads these signs that simply said, I am a man. I am a man. And that's what Tim Scott is. He is a man. He's able to make up his own mind, come to his own conclusions, and people like the Texas Lamar County Democrat chairman who called him an Oreo, this Tiffany Cross, who made these obnoxious comments, and others, their view is that Tim Scott's not a man. He is either a robot or a little doll or a piece of clay, and he has to sit there and do whatever the Democrat Party tells him to do. I think those days are over, and I really hope people listening to the sound of our voices will decide if you're white, you can make up your mind and think whatever you want about public affairs, and if you're black, you can make up your mind and decide whatever you want about public affairs. And if you disagree with that, then you're an anti-black racist.
Amen, Joy Murdoch. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Your voice is so important, especially at this time, and we're grateful to have it here on the Annie Fry Show.
Great to be with you. Thanks very much.
We'll talk to you again soon. Fox News contributor Joy Murdoch joining us there and really just bringing the heat. I appreciate that so much. I had not heard of those comments from Tiffany Cross. I mean, what is, like, some of the things that I hear Joy saying in the simple phrase, like, I'm a man, if you're a black person, you that is where we are right now. And that in order to identify the autonomy that somebody who has a different skin color than white, but also a Republican or conservative political bent, that we have to define the humanity of these individuals at this point. And it's perpetuated by the Democratic Party. That is where this is coming from. They capitalize on division. They want us to hate each other. They want us to look at each other. And as fast as we can, just like that, we see something that makes us feel as though we're different from one another. And then they benefit from it. They want power. This is how they are working to get it. Joy Murdoch has been speaking on this for quite some time as a guest on our show, and always grateful to have him here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Jones is going to talk to us a little bit about Kim Gardner facing some, she's got a professional misconduct probe surrounding her, and the repercussions could be, you know, a slap on the wrist, or maybe, you know, she could lose her law license. What would that mean for the city of St. Louis? We'll talk to Tim Jones about the details on Kim Gardner's future next. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
A serious probe underway tonight into St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. News 4 broke the story tonight on the KMOV News app. It's the result of an investigation that found Gardner committed professional misconduct. As News 4's Lauren Traeger explained, she could face discipline that results in the loss of her law license.
So Kim Gardner facing professional misconduct. What does this mean for her future here? And what are the details? Tell us the story of how we got to here. Tim Jones, welcome back to the show.
He's a righteous dude.
No one changed the channel. This is the Annie Fry Show, I promise.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You know, I brought you Outlander.
I'm a very stable genius.
Brought to you by Arrowhead Building Supply.
Tim Jones, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to have you here. Well, were you surprised by this probe into Kim Gardner here? Professional misconduct, you say. How did we even get to this point? I think people might go, oh, yeah, that's right. There was this thing.
Yes, we have to go back in our Wayback Machine, Annie, and rebuild the timeline here. And when people hear me start mentioning things like, do you remember the Eric Greitens investigation? And do you remember the charges relating to that? And do you remember a guy named Tisby who was the investigator that Kim Gardner went and got to investigate Eric Greitens and issues around him and so on and so forth? Then people are like, exactly what you just said. Oh, yeah. And many people thought that, look, you know, I mean, a lot of the allegations against former Governor Greitens were very serious.
They were very salacious, by the way, as well.
Sure.
And they involved all sorts of things. Mainly Kim Gardner's office was prosecuting him for the sexual assault allegations regarding a former hairdresser of his. However, there were other investigations. If you all remember the Missouri Ethics Commission, I think, was looking at some fundraising issues. The Missouri House of Representatives had an investigative panel, so on and so forth. However, you know, just because you're investigating someone who's been who has been alleged to have committed some wrongdoing, that does not give you, even if you're an elected prosecutor, even if you're Kim Gardner, it doesn't give you unfettered Katie bar the door, no holds barred, free rein to just commit any sorts of acts of wrongdoing on your part. You know, two wrongs don't make a right, right? That's what the old cliche, the old adage is. And if Kim Gardner went beyond the bounds of the law as set forth by the canons of professional conduct, which all of us as lawyers, I'm an attorney licensed to practice in the state of Missouri and New York, by the way, where I went to law school, you're bound by certain things of professional conduct. Now the legal profession, Annie, polices itself. A lot of people probably think there's a lot of jokes in there, right? You know, just what we need, lawyers looking after lawyers, right? But that's what we do. And so, on the other hand, let me say, if something gets to this level, therefore, you know, lawyers are going to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because lawyers we're right down there with used car salesmen and Congress and Nancy Pelosi as far as popularity rating, right? However, on the other hand, you know, you do want to hold each other to account. So if something does get this far where the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel has opened up an investigation and is looking into whether Kim Gardner should retain her law license or not, then you know it's 1,000% super serious. And even the critics of former Governor Eric Greitens, many of them were equally critical of Kim Gardner. It's like, okay, investigate someone. There's plenty of ways to investigate someone properly and fairly without skirting corners, without bending, and perhaps even breaking the law yourself.
Wow. Speaker Tim Jones, let's say this goes all the way to fruition and she actually, Kim Gardner, does lose her law license. What does that mean for the city of St. Louis? I mean, as an elected official, does this mean she would lose that position as circuit attorney, or does she have to have a law license to even to operate in that capacity?
Ryan, I knew you guys were probably going to ask me that question. I didn't have a chance to research that. Excellent question. Maybe one of my other legal eagles fellows can call in if they look that up. There, you know, and the reason I'm pausing is because until very recently, you could actually be a judge, I think on the municipal level at the very least in the state of Missouri, and not be a licensed attorney. Now, by practice and custom, I believe nearly all of the municipal attorneys all across the state may be attorneys at this point. That was kind of an old, you know, back in the day, not everybody, especially in rural Missouri back in the, 1800s, had gone to law school. Maybe you apprenticed with a lawyer, or maybe you're just someone who was like King Solomon. You had good judgment in your community, and so they made you the municipal judge, you know. I think those days are probably behind us. Now, as far as a prosecuting attorney or like attorney general of the state of Missouri, I believe you need a law license, but I could be wrong about that, right? And I say that only because there's other weird wrinkles in our law. Like, for instance, I could be reelected as Speaker of the House right now today, even though I no longer am a representative of the state. I'm not a state representative. So the Missouri House of Representatives, I'm just giving you an example of another weird wrinkle in the law. Mm-hmm. The Missouri House of Representatives, and guess what? The U.S. Congress. I could be the Speaker of the U.S. Congress, and I hope people would prefer me over Nancy Pelosi at this point, but some wouldn't.
I've seen your Twitter account there. Some
that's
wouldn't.
Right. I have fans, and then I don't. I could be elected by a majority of the congressional representatives as Speaker of the House. You don't have to be a sitting member. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that weird? But that's just kind of the way things are written. So I'd have to look into that, Ryan. It's a great question. You wouldn't think you'd want somebody. Let me put it this way. You wouldn't think you'd want somebody who had their license taken away by members of their own profession after an investigation to be the elected prosecutor. But I didn't think the city of St. Louis was going to elect Kim Gardner in the first place this time after the abysmal performance she put on the first 4 years. So what do I know?
We're speaking with Tim Jones of the Tim Jones Show, Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. So let's be real about this. You said that for this investigation, this probe to go as far as it has is definitely saying something. Is there meat and potatoes to this? Is there substance to this? Or is this just a headline that people who don't like Kim Gardner can seize upon and say, you know, oh, look, she might be getting her comeuppance, but at the end it's a slap on the wrist and we all move along.
No, I don't believe this is a witch hunt at all, Annie. I don't believe that this is a minor matter. Is she going to lose her license? We're a long way from that, right? The investigation has to be completely carried forth, conducted, and determined. But, you know, I read some of the news accounts on this. I didn't recognize any, like, political people involved necessarily in this, which means that this thing is hopefully devoid of politics, and hopefully they're looking at it on the substance of the matter. So, no, Annie, I believe this is a very serious issue. And, you know, I hope that the citizens of the city of St. Louis are paying attention to this. Like I said, I was shocked that they reelected Kim Gardner in the first place. Now, there may have been a Republican running, but, the city votes like 80-20 Democrat right now, right? So I don't know if you can find any Republicans left. I think there's a few scurrying around St. Louis Hills area. That may be about it. But there was a good alternative to Kim Gardner in the primary. There was another Democrat running that I thought people should have taken a look at. I don't know if she just didn't run a good campaign or got started too late or whatever, but she was a career prosecutor, a liberal, a Democrat, but someone who also had a very good Mary Pat Carl, I believe was her name, a very good reputation as a true, serious law and order Democrat who knew how to prosecute crime and who respected law enforcement. We've got this unholy alliance of our own little personal squad now in the city of St. Louis. I think I heard Mark Cox talking about that on your show yesterday, and I couldn't agree with him more. Look at what's happened. Look at what's slowly but surely happened. I think it's been very insidious. You know, we've got Mayor Tashara Jones. We've got Kim Gardner, right? We've got Cori Bush. You've got other people down there who are just stoking the flames. They've decided that the police are not the answer to the problems, that they are the problems themselves. They know as well as anybody else that, you know, 99.9% of the police force are good people just trying to serve their community. Let me tell you, their constituents, all the people I just mentioned, all those ladies I just mentioned, their constituents want good, honest law enforcement, right? And look what happens. I saw another statistic today that homicide rates and violent crime rates in urban areas run by Democrats all across the nation have skyrocketed above the spike from last year. So we had a spike last year, and now we have a skyrocketing rate on top of that. It is extremely dangerous to be out and about in inner urban America in places run by Democrats these days, and these elected officials think they're going to solve it all by defunding law enforcement and sending in the social workers. Good luck with that is all I have to say.
Tim Jones, this is the kind of question I think that you and I both really like looking into, so I'm going to ask you and get your
opinion. Is it about polls? Is it about polls?
No, it's not.
Oh, darn it.
It's in line with that. So just hear me out here. When you see a story like this from about Kim Gardner that's hitting the news, you know, it's kind of a big story, especially locally. It involves Eric Greitens. Now, Eric Greitens is going to be running for Senate in Missouri. So does a story like this benefit him where it makes him look like the victim, where she was out of line and, you know, he was being persecuted by somebody and she was not doing what she should? Or is it politically advantageous for his opponent, probably Eric Schmidt, because, you know, it's getting his possible, you know, tainted background back into the news? Like, which way does this play for Eric Greitens?
I think it depends on whose ox is getting gored here, Ryan, and I think people could play it. I think people could play it both ways, actually. However, I will say this: if Kim Gardner ends up with anything more than a slap on the wrist, if there's like serious disciplinary action, especially if there's the suspension, temporary suspension or revocation of her law license, you know that Eric Greitens will be able to, I think in many ways, be able to declare victory here. Because, look, let's be honest, even though I just mentioned there was all these other investigations, the only one that didn't look political, that had significant traction, was the one involving the criminal matters that Kim Gardner was doing. you know, the other investigations, the one by the Missouri Ethics Commission and the campaign finance stuff, some of the other stuff into his donors, it was all inside baseball, campaigny type stuff where I think most voters and Americans look at that and go, yeah, it's just a swamp. You know, it's just politicians being politicians. Maybe he did something, maybe he didn't, but it sure looks like the establishment wants to kick him out. So all that stuff, I think none of that really had any traction. But the criminal case involving an alleged assault of a woman with the bizarre allegations in there about her being in his basement and all this other stuff, that people were like, whoa, that's not good at all. Now, if Kim Gardner ends up being punished for that action, then doesn't that cause you to doubt every single thing that Kim Gardner did? And was the whole entire thing a witch hunt from the beginning against Eric Greitens? Possibly so. Now, on the other hand, Eric Schmidt and or anybody else who announces for that Senate race, which guess what? Nobody has yet, right? A lot of people are going to Mar-a-Lago and having fundraisers, but nobody else has announced yet. But you know Eric Schmidt is adding that to his opposition packet and going to be following this action very closely, because if those allegations get stirred back up again and it becomes a thing and Eric Greitens tries to pass himself off as a choir boy, then Eric Schmidt can very much remind people, say, hey, look, don't listen to what I'm saying. Look what's in the news right now. And so I think it's something that is a double-edged sword for sure. Bad for Kim Gardner, but also possibly bad for former Governor Greitens as well.
Well, we'll be following this story with you on the Tim Jones Show Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97 FM Talk. And if you want to go into the Thunderdome of Twitter, follow Tim Jones at Speaker Tim Jones right there and watch him fend off the trolls one after the other, after the other, after the other.
just put on your safety goggles, Annie. Just put on your safety goggles. Yeah.
I run so fast and far away from it. Oh, man. I love the mute button. Do you know that there's a mute button?
I do. Okay. I've got one or two people muted that just wear me out. They just become tedious. But, and you know, I've slowly kind of, I know I need to like start like looking at the sun more and smelling the roses. So, you know, but let me tell you, I get sucked back in all the time. It's like, I'm like a bee to honey, you know, when it comes to Twitter.
Every once in a while, so. I get tagged on a tweet that has Tim Jones on it. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on in this corner of Twitter? Tim, how are you handling this? Would you handle it?
It's like a WWE cage match. Yeah.
It is aggressive. It's always good to have you here, Tim. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks so much, Annie.
We'll talk to you again soon. A quick break. When we come back, President Biden is speaking, and amid major spending push. Well, no crap. That's been the last 100 days. This is not brand new information. We'll see what he has to say. We'll listen in on the break. And as always, your input is very, very welcome here. Come on the Facebook Live, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow or the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and let us know. Do you want the summary of what Joe Biden is saying, or you want to hear it straight from him? We'll look at your comments and make a decision based on what he says, the news he makes, and how you feel about it. We'll be back with Joe Biden maybe in just a minute. Don't go away.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So President Biden's speaking right now about all the money he wants to spend, and he's talking about, you know, obviously part of this economic recovery that he wants to be involved in is making sure that people get the vaccine so we can get back to normal, blah, blah, blah. We heard all that yesterday. Now he's talking about restaurants and making sure that we get these jobs back. Maybe stop paying people to not work at the restaurants. Maybe that would be plan A, where we pay people to work instead of paying people not to work with the money from the people who are working, who are paying taxes, to go to the government to pay people who are not working for the businesses where they employ people to work, but they aren't working.
You're a radical.
Katie and I on the break were basically just messaging each other. We weren't even really like conversing. We were just telling each other things that annoy us. and then we go into this segment and we're playing Backstreet Boys, which I'm gonna admit is kind of a selfish thing for me to play. I played that for me, thought it would make me happy. There's an airplane taking off of it in the front of that. I don't know how that happened. That's not part of the
catching
song.
A flight.
It is what it is.
Backstreet Boys catching a flight.
I just don't feel like it in perpetual. I don't sleep these days. I'm so physically just distended and uncomfortable. And so I cannot get comfortable at night. Have you guys ever experienced restless legs?
I have not.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It's the worst. And it's definitely a pregnancy thing, because I remember experiencing this before with other pregnancies. But it's just like the feeling, like imagine somebody like running their fingers like they were running back and forth on your leg, just barely touching your leg. It's like a creepy crawly feeling, but it's almost like in your skin. It's not. Oh, it's so awful. Like, I seriously will, like, slap my legs to try to make it stop happening.
That is not what I thought restless leg felt like.
No, I didn't either.
It's just basically a creepy, crawly feeling in your legs. And I think I was talking with a good friend of mine who has also had 4 babies. And she said, she's like, does that have to do with low iron? And I was like, I think maybe it does. Because I'm, like, borderline anemic as it is. I take vitamins every day, so I wish that did happen. What about this Diet Mountain Dew? What is this doing for
my
health?
What does it do for us?
No iron. No iron here. Aspartame and some chemicals I can't pronounce. Phenylecanonerotics. Maybe that's what's causing the
I've got a Diet Mountain Dew, too.
Cheers to that. Yeah, absolutely.
Ryan, what you got? DQQT. Gosh, help me. Get me out.
I just don't sleep. And Katie has been up to her eyeballs in work, so she's like trying to get everything done. So we're just sharing stories about being annoyed. And I just don't feel like I can respectfully air Joe Biden right now and report on it in a way that's fair to the President of the United States. Or maybe now would be the best time to do it. It's really kind of up in the air.
He is taking questions right now from reporters, and I just can't imagine anyone.
Cue him up. Let's put this ball on the tee here real quick. Here What's go. He saying? Nothing.
He said that in our last administration, Barack, he was going to stop everything. And I was able to get a lot done with him.
What?
Look.
Somebody get him a Diet Mountain Dew.
Look. Everything I'm proposing that be done to generate economic growth, employment, and put us in a position where we can outcompete any other country in the world with research and development and moving ahead, I pay for. We talk about how this is going to cost so much money, I'm not paying for it. The bottom line is this. My Republican friends had no problem voting to pass a tax proposal that expires in 2025 that cost $2 trillion. None of it paid for. Increased the deficit by $2 trillion. Gave the overwhelming percentage of those tax breaks to people who didn't need it. The top 0.1%. They didn't need it. And it was argued that what it would do is generate this great economic surge and growth. It would increase productivity. It would pay for itself. It would generate a sense of growth in America we hadn't seen ever before. Well, everyone from the Heritage Foundation on has pointed out hadn't done that. Hadn't done that. Now I come along, and the proposals that I'm suggesting are tried and true things like when you rebuild bridges, things get better. When you rebuild highways, when you don't have to, airports, ports, it all matters. It increases productivity. And the programs that relate to people are programs that are the things that also generate economic growth.
Here comes the infrastructure push.
And I view them as, for example, tax cuts for middle class, upper middle class, and working class people. And so you eliminate a few of the, just have the super wealthy begin to pay their fair share. For example, you have, I think it's 35 or 30 corporations didn't pay a single solitary penny last year, and they're Fortune 500 companies. They made $400 billion. They paid no taxes.
You know, again, going back to this, we've talked about this with Stephen Moore earlier in the week on Monday, but the idea of the fair share, are these corporations doing something illegal, or do they have really well-educated tax preparers who are using the loopholes and so on and so forth that have been designed by Congress, by people like Joe Biden, who have been around Congress for 47,000 years, to make it so that they can pay what they pay and not pay what they don't pay? I mean, it's not, they're criminalizing these big corporations. And the ironic thing is that in the back rooms, these corporations are massively influential with who gets elected and who doesn't, who gets to be the candidate that's chosen for a specific race and who doesn't, with the money that they throw around behind a lot of these elections. I cannot listen to Joe Biden and think that he is the person who is in command of this office. It's just impossible to think that he is fully in control, that these are his ideas, that he's leading on this. It feels like he's being led. I don't think that he disagrees with what he's doing. I don't think he's doing anything against his own fruition. But boy, that it just does not give me confidence to hear him speak on anything. Here comes that song again. This is why I played it. I played it for me, but I hope that you enjoy this moment with me. We'll be right back. Jason Chaffetz in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.